The topic for today's sermon, today's reading, is divine discernment. Divine discernment. Knowing the difference between what you're going through and what God is doing in you. Let me ask you something, and I want you to actually think about it. Have you ever been in a season where everything around you was telling you one story, but something deep inside you was whispering something different? Like the circumstance said, this is falling apart, but something inside you was telling you, no, it's actually coming together. Or you're being told you've lost, but inside you, you're telling yourself, I think I'm winning. That gap between what you see and what you sense in your spirit, that is the space where discernment lives. That's what we're calling divine discernment. And that is exactly where Peter writes from today. If you have your Bible today, like right in front of you, I'd actually like you to pick it up and open up to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 9, because I'm going to break it down today. If you need a minute, it's fine, I can wait. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3-9. I'm going to start with what is discernment? The word discernment is one of those words we hear pretty often. But what does it actually mean? It's one of the bigger vocabulary words, but it's more common. Some of the smartest people in history have made the worst spiritual decisions, in my opinion. Discernment is not experience. You can spend 30 years doing the wrong thing and simply become experienced at being wrong. And discernment isn't suspicion either. Sometimes people think they're discerning because they see problem in everyone else. That's not discernment, that's criticism. Discernment is the God-given ability to recognize what is truly happening beneath what is visibly happening. It's seen with heaven's perspective instead of earth's perspective. I'll put it like that. Discernment is asking, God, what are you saying I cannot hear? What are you doing that I cannot yet see? What are you producing that I cannot yet understand? Because God is always doing more than meets the eye. Think about an iceberg. Scientists tell us that nearly 90% of an iceberg is underwater. When ships collide with icebergs, they weren't hitting what they saw. They were hitting what they couldn't see. I mean, yes, they saw the tip of the iceberg, but that's not what makes the ship sink. Life works the same way. Most people only react to what is visible. But mature believers, they ask, what is underneath this? What is God trying to reveal? What is God removing from this current situation? What preparation is God making for me, for you, for my brother, my sister, my mother, my father? Discernment always asks the deeper question. Now a little context, because the Bible doesn't come in a vacuum. Peter is writing to a group of people that scholars describe as scattered strangers. These are early Christians. displaced, exiled. They're pushed through the margins of society. They were not in a comfortable situation. They were neither on the winning side of things, neither politically nor socially. And yet, Peter opens this letter not with sympathy, not with, I know things are hard, hang in there. Instead, he opens this chapter, this message, he opens it with praise. He said, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine someone reading that and thinking, Peter, do you know what's happening out there? And Peter would say, yes, that's exactly why I'm giving praise. That's divine discernment. The ability to look at your life, not only with your natural eyes, but with spiritual eyes. To read your circumstances the way God reads them. Peter says in verse 3, that God has given us new birth into a living hope. I want to stop at those two words, living hope. Is that what you have in your Bible? Yeah, living hope. Not static hope, not the archive of hope, not hope that I used to have when things were better. Living hope, it's present, it's continuous. It's working on your behalf right now. Here's the thing about most of the hopes we carry. They're conditional. I remember earlier in January we spoke about conditional and unconditional love. They depend on the economy, on our health, on how a relationship goes, on whether that job comes true or not. And when the condition change, so does the hope. But Peter is describing a different kind of hope. He calls it a living hope because it has survived death. Literally. This hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. He was crucified and was brought back to life. Which means it has already faced the worst possible outcome, which is death, and came out on the other side victorious and alive. That's the proof of concept for every promise God has ever made. If God can raise the dead, God can handle whatever you're dealing with. Can I ask you something personal? What's the dead thing in your life that you've quietly stopped hoping for? Maybe it's a dream you used to have, but you feel like, I'm way past my time of getting this. Maybe it's a relationship you're sorting out for, but you feel like you want to write it off. A version of yourself you look forward to, but you stop believing in. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hand and say it out loud, but I want you to hold it in your mind right now. Actually, picture it. Because I want you to bring it out to the rest of this message. Peter says your hope is living, which means it hasn't expired. It is still working, even when you're not. Even when you're asleep, your hope is working for you. You breathe in, you breathe out, you wake up the next day. That's hope. What you're going through is not what's being done to you. In verse 6, you see, in all you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor. Peter doesn't deny the pain. He doesn't do that thing where someone says, just praise God. Oh, you're wishing for something in life, and someone says, just give glory to God, it's going to come. As in, your grief isn't real. He says, yes, there is grief. Yes, there are trials. Yes, it's hard. He validates the pain, the situation. But then he introduces two words that change everything. So that. I do this so that this can happen. These things have come so that you're encountering these trials, you're encountering this tough time, so that there is a purpose or a clause attached to your pain. Not because pain is good, not because pain is wanted, not because pain is deserved, but because God is good and God is kind and God does not waste anything. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. You know how gold is refined, right? You put it in fire, you, as much as possible, you heat it up, you beat it, you try to get something beautiful out of something hard. But before you get that out, it has to go through a series of, it has to go through a series of, you know, tough production so that it can come out looking beautiful. The impurities, the foreign elements that don't belong, when the fire burns off everything, you get that beautiful instrument after and leave behind the version of it that was maybe ugly to look at or old. Peter says your faith is more valuable than gold, which means the fire you're in right now is not a punishment, it's a process. It's not trying to end you, it's trying to refine you, to burn off the fear, the self-reliance, the pride, the version of you that can't trust God, and leave behind the version of you that can. Divine discernment is the ability to look at the fire and say, I know how hard, I know how hot, I know how bad this fire looks, but I know what it is for. I know the reason why it is here. I've seen Mark do a lot of services. I've also been to a lot of services, so don't know how this is going to work out, but is it possible to turn to the person next to you and say to them, the thing, the situation, the fire, what I'm going through right now, I'm choosing to believe that so that is attached to it. Might sound like a long sentence. You can say it like this. I'm going through this, so that. And then you can just finish a sentence in your mind. Just take a second. Like, I'm going through this situation right now so that I can feel better, so that I can experience God in my life. Just 5 seconds, I'd like you to say to the person next to you. Thank you, Asher. And now we've come to the most stunning verse in this passage, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Maybe I should have read that slower. Peter is describing people who love someone they've never seen with their physical eyes, who believe in someone who is not currently visible to them. And yet, they are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. How is that possible? Because your discernment is not the same as sight. Discernment operates on a different frequency. It is your spirit, shaped and sharpened by the Holy Spirit, perceiving what your eyes and your logic cannot reach. You felt this before. You've had moments where things were objectively hard, and yet something in you was settled. Something in you was at peace. Something in you knew that the facts that were telling you, it's gonna be okay. That was not delusion. That was discernment. So what does all this mean for us practically? On the way home today, what do you think, what do I want you to think about tomorrow morning for the rest of the week, days after? I think Peter is just giving us a new framework for how to read our lives. And it has three parts. Number one, don't read your circumstances without reading your inheritance. Because verse 4 says, your inheritance cannot perish, spoil, or fade. Whatever you have lost, it does not cancel what God has reserved for you. There is more ahead than what is behind. Number two, don't read your pain without asking what it is for. Not every trial comes with an obvious label, but every trial comes with a God, knowing what is present, what was in the past, and what is to come, and is purposely pushing you through the trial. Ask God, what are you building for me? I'm going through this so that I can get what? Number three, don't mistake the absence of sight for the absence of God. Just because you cannot see him, it's not moving around you, doesn't mean it stopped. The people in this letter have never physically seen Jesus, and they were overflowing with joy. Faith is not waiting until you can see it. Faith is trusting before you can. Divine discernment is not a superpower reserved for special people. It's a posture that every single person in this room can develop. It is your choice whether or not to interpret your life through it. But instead of waiting on something that you believe is not going to happen, look at it through the lens of God's eyes. Let God lead you. Let the discernment come to you. The world will tell you a story about your life. Your bank account will tell your story. Your medical diagnosis is going to tell your story. Your past is going to tell your story. Your friends are going to tell your story. Your fears are going to tell your story. But God has already written a different story. And it ends with your faith, resulting in praise and glory and honor, just as the people in Peter's story. The only question is, which story are you going to read? Your friend's story? Your past story? The story your doctor tells you? Or do you want to listen to the story of God? May we be people of this, divine discernment. May we be what God sees us to be. May we trust what we cannot yet touch. And may we be filled inexpressibly, gloriously, bountifully, with the joy of people who know how the story ends. Just give me a second. Before you leave today, I want you to stop calling yourself what your circumstances tell you. Stop saying I'm broken. Stop saying I'm finished. I'm forgotten, I'm defeated, I'm too old, I'm too late. Instead, say what God says. I am chosen. I am being refined. I have a living hope. I have an eternal intelligence. I am being guarded by the power of God. I will finish this race. That is divine discernment. Not denying the reality, but acknowledging that there is something beyond what we can actually see. Seeing a greater reality, that is divine discernment.